to Psalm 98. This is where we're going to begin. My sermon title today is called Judgment Day, and it's the day that you're going to learn about this morning. I'll leave it at that. I have a little bit of reading to do here. Find your outline as well on the back of that. I'm going to read from the Belgic Confession. You got to bear with me. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture. We're going to read the Belgic Confession, Article 37, which is entitled The Last Judgment, all biblically based. The Belgic Confession is one of the confessions of the Reformed Church in America and also part of the Alliance of Reformed Churches. It's one of our doctrines. So you get to take that home with you and learn about what does this look like, heaven and hell, as we continue in the series today. So go with me. Let's start at Psalm 98, verse 9. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. So we're going to learn about what that looks like this morning. Now go to Matthew 25. This is a parable. Jesus once again is speaking. It's the sheep and the goats. You've maybe heard this many times, but this is going to be part of our basis of the message today, along with Revelation 20. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you? And he will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now turn to me with me to Revelation chapter 20, and it's entitled The Judgment of the Dead, beginning at verse 11 through verse 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. The reading of the word of the Lord. And now turn with me to the back. I also have this on the screen. And Aaron, I'm going to read straight through. And can you advance my slides for me? There are four slides on the screen. For those of you that are at home or maybe sitting here, you can follow along on, as I read. It's a little bit of a lengthy read. The Belgic Confession, Article 37, entitled The Last Judgment. Finally, we believe, according to God's word, that when the time appointed by the Lord has come, which is unknown to all creatures, and the number of the elect is complete, our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, bodily and visibly, as he ascended, with great glory and majesty, to declare himself the judge of the living and the dead. He will burn this old world in fire and flame in order to cleanse it. Then all human creatures will appear in person before the great judge, men, women, and children, who have lived from the beginning until the end of the world. They will be summoned there with the archangel's call and at the sound of God's trumpet. For all those who died before that time will be raised from the earth, their spirits being joined and united with their own bodies in which they lived. And as for those who are still alive, they will not die like the others, but will be changed in the twinkling of an eye from perishable to imperishable. Then the books, that is, the conscience, will be opened, and the dead will be judged according to the things they did in the world, whether good or evil. Indeed, all people will give account of all the idle words they have spoken, which the world regards as only playing games. And then the secrets and hypocrisies of all people will be publicly uncovered in the sight of all. Therefore, with good reason, the thought of this judgment is horrible and dreadful to wicked and evil people, but is very pleasant and a great comfort to the righteous and elect, since their total redemption will then be accomplished. They will then receive the fruits of their labor and of the trouble they have suffered. Their innocence will be openly recognized by all, and they will see the terrible vengeance that God will bring on the evil ones who tyrannized, oppressed, and tormented them in this world. The evil ones will be convicted by the witness of their own conscience and shall be made immortal, but only to be tormented in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And in contrast, the faithful and elect will be crowned with glory and honor. The Son of God will profess their names before God his Father and the holy and elect angels. All tears will be wiped from their eyes, and their cause, at present condemned as heretical and evil by many judges and civil officers, will be acknowledged as a cause of the Son of God. And as a gracious reward, the Lord will make them possess a glory which as the human heart could never imagine. So we look forward to that great day with longing in order to enjoy fully the promise of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you having read your scripture today of the last judgment and what that day will look like. Lord, may your spirit be just poured out upon us today. Give us wisdom. Lord, give us knowledge of the word that we just read from. Lord, may your spirit open our minds, our souls, and our spirits that are in a way that we've never heard this before. Lord, speak to us afresh. May these words be your words and never mine. I pray that you fill me with that same spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. Janice, can you bump me up just a shade? I can't. Can you hear me in the back this morning? No? Yeah? Can you nod your head? Yeah? Okay, you can hear me. Good. Okay, I just want to make sure that you can hear me well this morning, as we're going to cover a lot of ground this morning, and it's going to be a lot of information, and so get your pencil ready if you have your outline in your Bible, but here we go. All right, we're dating myself here, and maybe you this morning. How many of you remember the People's Court on TV? Judge Wapner. All right? Get your hand up high if you remember that. So it was a case where they'd have civil court and people would come in and there'd be a plaintiff and there'd be a defendant and you'd have Judge Wapner there and you'd have the bailiff and you'd have the guy with a nice hairdo that looks like he lives and comes from California, right? He'd interview the plaintiff or the defendant after the court case and they'd discuss how it went and it was quite something, wasn't it? The People's Court. Did you know from that show that there's been many other shows that have come on television about court? And here's a few you might know. Some of these are modern day things that you might see on television or hear on radio. How many of you have heard of Judge Judy? Oh, there's quite a few hands that went up. You've heard of Judge Judy as you watch television. How about Judge Hatchett? A few of you. All right, Judge James Curtis. How many of you have... If you got cable television, you see a channel called Court TV. They have a whole series, now, a channel just dedicated to Court TV. Now, isn't that quite something? How many of you like to watch modern shows like Bull? Anybody remember the show Bull, right? It was about prosecutors and lawyers and attorneys and before judges. How many of you like the show, a little bit older now, Law and Order? Yeah, right? They put a case before you and it went all the way to the court system and it was tried and some of those were not good things that went on, of course. very evil things. But what I want to set in your mind today is that people are intrigued by judges, about decisions, about courts, and what that looks like in their life. Now, you are totally fine as long as you're not the one standing before the judge, right? You can watch the show. You have no skin invested in the game. But the day will come that you and I will stand before a judge, face to face. And that judge is Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. You need to know where you stand in your faith walk, in your journey in life. Because every one of you, notice it said young and old, small and whatever it might be in our description of Scripture today. Every one of us will stand before a judge. And it's not going to be Judge Wapner. It'll be Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. And so we're going to look at this day. It's coming for every one of us. Now, let me think about your faith journey. There is a statement that we say, how many of you are familiar with the Apostles' Creed? Just about every denomination I know recites the Apostles' Creed. It's one of the three main creeds that the Christian church follows. The Apostles' Creed has a statement in there. He is coming to judge. Finish it for me. Exactly. That's what we believe as the Christian church. That's part of our faith statement, that he's coming to judge the living and the dead. Now, some churches will use the word, he's coming to judge the quick and the dead. It's just another word for living. So, I don't know who's the oldest person in here today, but you are still quick. Do you get it? You're still quick. All right, that's what the Bible says. Yeah, he's coming to judge the quick and the dead. So if you're in there and you can't get around very well and you're in your 80s, you need to know that you're still quick in God's eyes. Yeah. All right, let me get into some scripture for you this morning. Psalm 98, verse 9. That's what I started out this morning with in your Bible. You read it? You followed along with me? Let me just repeat it for you so you can get your mind around this. It says, let them sing before the Lord. All right? That's a sign of rejoicing, by the way. You're happy to be there because of your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a good day, okay, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about the other side too. And then it goes on, he comes to judge the earth. It means that everything that's in it. He would judge the world in righteousness, meaning that he'll judge what's right. If you don't understand what righteousness means, he's going to do what's right. What he's seen, how you live in your life. Have you lived for Jesus or not? He's going to do what's right. For you and I, on the way we lived our life. And then he says, he judged all the peoples with equity. And what that simply means is that he's not going to judge you one way and somebody else another way. It's going to be the same way. It's going to be equitable for everybody that lived in this world. And so now what is it without Judgment Day, without the book of Revelation? All right, Revelation chapter 20. Verses 12 through 15, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want you to hear what I'm going to say here. I just took a couple verses and put it together. And I saw the dead, great and small, meaning popular and unpopular, famous and infamous, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And we've talked about that in our series of Revelation a few years ago, the book of life. And that's the name, that's where you want your name to be as a believer in Jesus Christ, the book of life. And you do that by giving your life to Jesus Christ and professing your faith in your one Lord and Savior. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The lake of fire is the second death. And that's for those that don't believe in Jesus Christ. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's pretty simple, and maybe we grasp that, and maybe we don't, but we're going to dig into this a little bit more, what this day looks like. The real reason that I think most people will not go to the book of Revelation, do not want to maybe learn about it, or they're afraid of it, or they're scared of it, is because it talks about Judgment Day. And when you and I get in front of a judge and we are talked about how we lived our life, that makes us feel very uncomfortable. And so for most of us, we'd rather not even talk about it. That's why you see very few churches that will even preach what this day will look like, or even preach about there is a real hell. The Bible talks about it, and people will go there. It says it right in Scripture. I also think that we get uncomfortable of a final judgment. And we're going to talk about that this morning as well. You know, this is nothing new. Judgment Day was put in place the moment that sin entered the world in the book of Genesis. God's been talking about this. He's been unveiling his plan to you and I, and that's Jesus Christ is part of that plan for our salvation, for our eternal life, for everyone that believes. So what about this business of heaven and hell and the last judgment? Let's dig into that. Okay, we see two different types of judgment here. And it's real easy. We see Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. That's a parable that Jesus is speaking to you and I. The right and the left. The right is a sign of power. The sheep, his flock. The left is the weaker side. Would be the unbelievers, those who choose not to follow him, that reject him in this world. That we see two different scriptures based around this day, what this will look like. And pretty much, this is how I want to break it down to you this morning. And we're going to go into a little bit more depth of this next week. But Matthew 25 is Jesus. Revelation 20, it's John telling you what he saw, what this day looked like. And we see pictures of both. And I believe that this judgment are both judgments that we're looking at that are happening at the same time. Now, there's some discrepancy on that. Some theologians and some scholars say, no, this is two different types of judgments, and it'll be different. We'll dig more into that next week about what this might look like. But from what I can tell and what I'm reading, what I'm studying is, you got a story from John, you got a story from Jesus, but they reflect the same judgment. One final judgment. It'll look totally different for a believer and a non-believer of what that looks like in that day. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Matthew 25, verse 34. And if you have your Bible open with me this morning, keep a thumb in Revelation 20 and 1 in Matthew 25. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Unbelievers will be judged in a very different way. Matthew 25, verse 45, if you keep reading in that chapter, says, Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. We see that separation very pronounced, very real in Scripture. And so today the world will try to tell you, we serve a loving God that will send no one to hell. And I want to tell you that that is not biblical. That is somebody's own idea that they're trying to make you feel good with. Scripture is very clear with what God says to you and I about what this day will look like. And I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be misled on that day. And they're going to stand in horror. And they're going to stand shaking their head, weeping, wondering what had happened to them. Why didn't they hear the truth of what this day will look like? And so today, you get to hear this truth. I'm going to share with you three things about that judgment day that you need to be aware of, okay? Now, if you look at the book of Revelation, John has a lot of graphic information about this day and what it looks like, right? You got fires, you got brimstone, but there are three truths that I want you to know and realize that you and I have as believers in Jesus Christ. And the first one is that the judgment will be fair for you and I. It will be fair, right? Now, what in the world is fair about the possibility of being thrown into a lake of fire? Nothing, right? That's not fair. How many of you have heard children playing around and they'll holler, it's not fair, it's not fair. Have you heard that? Right? Why do you think they are screaming that? Because they're not getting what they want. They want it their way. And I want to tell the same with you this morning as well. If you want to be stand before God in judgment one day, and you want to be on the right side by the sheep, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to follow his ways. It's not our way. And if you think it is, you're seriously being misled. It's God's way. It's God's way. It's through Jesus Christ. You know, so you look up the dictionary definition of fair, and you get three things I want to share with you this morning. So if you don't think it's fair, listen to this. Fair means it's just to all parties. Fair means that it's equitable to each and every one of us. Fair means that it's consistent with the rules that God has placed for us in Scripture about what that day will look like. And so I want to share with you, God is a fair judge. He's a loving judge. He will judge you according to your beliefs in Jesus Christ or not, and then according to your works and what that looks like in your life as a believer. And those who don't follow suit, they'll be judged in a totally different way. Yeah. How many of you ever tried to bribe somebody? Don't put your hand up for this. How many of you ever tried to bribe somebody? Huh? Yeah. You know, you always hear the story if you get pulled over by a police officer and you take your ID out and you wrap a $20 bill around it and you see which one he's going to take, right? I do not recommend you do that anymore because you'll probably end up in jail. But you try to bribe, right? You're way out of situations. You try to talk your way out of situations that you're like, man, this is not good. I need to figure out how to get out of this. Well, you need to know that in the last day, it will be fair. You will not bribe Jesus Christ. He will know exactly where you stand, as a believer or not. There'll be no discrepancy. No bribing Jesus when he sits on that throne. Psalm 94, verse 15. I think I got it in the bottom of your screen. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. If you desire Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to do everything you can in your power to follow Jesus Christ. You will not be perfect. You will fall. You will sin. But by the grace of God, He covers all those sins on this day. That's what it's about. But it will be founded on righteousness. It will be fair. And if you and I belong to Jesus Christ, we will not receive what we deserve. That's the great thing. That's mercy. We deserve death and punishment, right? But through Jesus Christ, we get mercy, get eternal life in a new heaven and new earth through Jesus. And so the last judgment will be right and it'll be fair. Here's my second point I want to make with you this morning. The final judgment will also be complete, right? We'll all be judged, everyone. The rich and the poor, famous and infamous, celebrity and unknown, white collar, blue collar, church member and unchurched, good and bad, the living and the dead will all be judged on that day. No one will avoid it. And God will fully take everything into account on that day. Nothing will be omitted. When Jesus talked about the last judgment, one of the things he said in Luke 8, verse 17, so here's another verse, and it's on the bottom of your screen this morning. There is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. For everybody will see, for he will see the way that you and I live their lives. Now, if you are like me, I do follow some news, and you know what's going on in the world, and there's this battle going around, privacy of the citizen, and I'm all for that. There's this debate about should the government have the rights to listen on your cell phone and know what you're talking about and all this kind of stuff. And people say, no, that's our right. That's our freedom. And we have this big battle going on. But let me say this. Part of that, yeah, I hear that and I think, if people just realize that you're worried about the government hearing what you got to say, and if what you got to say is not good, there's somebody almightier than that that's hearing everything you do, right? Nothing's concealed before our Lord. Every thought, every deed, every action, Jesus is aware of. He sees, he hears, he knows everything. Even the little things you do behind closed doors that nobody else knows about, he knows. Now, for some of us, that might scare us. Hold on to that thought till the end of my message today, because I have some grace for you in that area of life today. But judgment will be full. It will be complete. Everything will be brought out into the open. I have another verse for you. Hebrews 4, verse 13, in the gray box. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And that him is Jesus Christ, is what it says for our lives. Here's the final point I want to make with you this morning. The last judgment is final. There are no second chances. You get one life, and you get to live that life in one way that determines where you will spend eternity. And what you do with it matters to God. How you spend your time, the things that you do in your life. But here's what I want you to think about. If you're not living for Christ today, you can make a correction at any time and give your life fully to Christ. Now, I know I sit in a church that most of you are believers, and I may be preaching to the choir this morning. But if you're not, you're sitting on the fence, should I believe in this Christ? Is he real? Is he going to, you know, is he going to condemn me? I mean, no. He's loving, he's grace-filled, and he wants you to be in heaven. That's his desire. You know, a lot of us pray sometimes, Lord, come back today, come back today. But how many of you know of people that live without Christ in their lives? Right? All of us do. And we want them to find Christ before Jesus returns. A brother, a sister, a mother, a father, wherever it might be. God is patient with you and I. But one day, he will come back. And I don't know when that is. God wants all to be in heaven with him. But not all will choose him on that day. So for an unbeliever, this might sound terrifying today. That's also why most people won't talk about it. They won't discuss it. They won't go there. How many of you, all of you been in school. Let me tell you about a story when I was in school. So, you know, I was not, a lot of you think that I was a pretty good student, but I don't know, God's given me a lot of grace about that. There were some, I was sitting in eighth grade English one time, and my teacher was Mrs. Givens. And, you know, back then they used to read your grade out loud in the middle of class to everyone. Do you remember that at all? Now they don't do that anymore. And they gave you a number, and she wrote on the board, a 5 is an A, And the 4 was a B, and she gets to Rob Horstman, and she read 1.2 F. Now, how can that be, right? But I managed to pick it up and do well. But you know what was the best part of that whole semester of English in eighth grade? Is that she averaged the scores. I was scared to death. My mom and dad are here. They don't even know that I probably had that F. But by the end of the semester, I was at a B. It just scared me to death. But you know what the great part of it was? Is that Mrs. Given, she averaged my grades throughout that whole semester. I failed the first 3 or 4 tests. It was looking terrible. It was in the fall. I didn't want to go back to school. But then I had, I could literally say, I had the hell scared out of me. Literally. I was scared. This is not who I am. And I turned it around. But let me say this to you. When Jesus comes on that day, or if you die before he comes and you go to the grave, there is no averaging. There is no second chance. You're graded upon the way you live your life the moment you die. And if you're without Christ, you go to that awful, dreadful place. That's the point I want to make with you today. There's no averaging with Christ. Either you're in or you're out. You might fail the first half of your life, but if you give it to Christ, I will guarantee you then you're in. Some of you, I know your stories. You've been there. That's how you lived, without Christ. Then you figured it out by the grace of God through his Holy Spirit, and you gave your life to him. Now you know that you're in. I need to know, you need to know, when you leave here today, am I in? Because that's what matters. Am I in? Are your kids in? Is your neighbor in? Is that brother or sister in that you know that's on the fence? Because that's what matters to you and I. Are you in? I got a little story for you this morning. This is a pastor I put him in the crazy category. He is good with kids. So he is a kids pastor. His name is Steve Winger. Anybody ever heard of Steve Winger before? He's a children's ministry guru. He doesn't quite compete with Anita, but he's close. All right? He's close. But so let me share with you. He has an amazing ability to connect with kids. He has a little show that he goes on the road and he talks about Jesus Christ. And you can see all the stuff he does. He can spin plates on things and frisbees on, you know, all that kind of stuff. He can do all of that. Well, he was in school one day. And as he's going through college, he had a logics class. Anybody taken a logics class before? Right? No? You don't ever want to take one. So anyway, he was in logics class, and the professor, he was known to be a tough test taker. I mean, just miserably tough, and it was hard to get a good grade on his test. Semester test came, and he handed his students a sheet of paper like this, notebook paper. And he said this to them, "You can write as much information on both sides of the sheet as possible for your test. And you can have it with you on test day." And so, you know, everybody goes home and you write so small, right? And you just fill it, everything you can, right? One guy shows up to class, his paper is blank, nothing on it. And he puts it down on the floor and he has an advanced logic student from the upper class stand right on it. And he asked him all the questions he took to test. And the professor allowed it. And he got an A, the only A this professor's ever given in his career. That's the great thing about it. Here's what I want to share with you this morning. This is where grace comes in. So you and I are going to stand before the judge one day. And Jesus is on it. And he stands next to you. And he washes over you all the sins that you and I make before the judge. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Remember I said to you, remember those little things you do behind closed doors that he knows about? He says, just ask for forgiveness. Ask for that freedom. And let me cover the rest. Because he loves you. That's what Judgment Day is going to look like for you and I. He's going to be right there saying, she's mine. He's mine. He's forgiven. She's forgiven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Here's your reward. Eternal life with the Savior in heaven. Amen? Amen. That's what it's about. Let's pray. Lord, when this day comes in Christ, we have nothing to fear, for you are right by our side. Lord, we know that you sit on that throne and you judge us, but yet we'll be washed clean that day. No matter if we are dead and raised from the grave or if we're still alive in your return, Lord, we will not dread standing before you on that day. We will rejoice, as Psalm 98 says. Lord, may we know you today as Lord and Savior. May we feel your presence in our lives. May we be forgiven for the sins that we commit. Lord, that's our prayer today. And may those who don't know you fully yet, may they come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we want them to be there with all those who believe in your name. May we rejoice in this message today. May we feel uplifted, knowing that your grace covers a multitude of the sins that we commit. May you hear us. In Jesus I pray. Amen.